Come in and take your seats. Good morning. My name is Rosie Goldstein. I'm the Vice Principal of Research and International Relations here at McGill. And it's my great pleasure, and I'm very excited, along with my staff, to welcome you to the first session of the Research Administration Network at McGill, or RAN. And like I say, it's really my pleasure to welcome you and to be your first speaker. And I'm told, because many of you don't know me, that you'd like a brief introduction. I am a McGill graduate. So I'll spend a few minutes speaking about myself, but just a few, and then we'll talk about the real subject today, research administration and you. I am a rheumatologist by training. I have 2 degrees from McGill. I was born and raised in Montreal, and I have a bachelor's degree and medical degree from 1979 from McGill. I spent then most of my career outside of McGill at various institutions of higher learning to get my training. Faculty career as a physician and clinician scientist at Faculty of Medicine at University of Ottawa, where I finished up a few years ago, my last position being Vice Dean Academic Affairs in the Faculty of Medicine. From there, I was Vice President Research, similar position to this one, at University of Calgary for 4 years, and 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago, I had the pleasure of coming back to McGill to serve in this capacity. So that's really enough about me. Again, I wanted to welcome you to this inaugural RAN meeting. It's really so encouraging. I heard about the sign up, the amazing sign up for this network, and I'm very pleased to see the great turnout today. I think it speaks to the need for this network, and also to your enthusiasm to be involved. I didn't touch it. your enthusiasm, inaugural, yeah. They got to reconfigure Windows. They always do that to me at the right time. Luckily, I don't need slides. So, really, to encourage you to continue the interest, I am certain that this is going to be a very successful network, and that this session is the beginning of many that you and your colleagues will come to. I want to give you a little bit of background for this network. And as I said, I really feel there's been a lot of enthusiasm by both the people running this network, launching it, and those who have been invited to attend. And it's really encouraging to see that kind of interest in research administration across the McGill community. As many of you may know, part of the background for this network is that we had a tri-agency, or we call it tri-council, monitoring visit from Ottawa, from our federal funding agencies, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, in 2010, just before my arrival. This is a routine monitoring visit that all universities and all receivers of federal funds go through, so it should not be seen as anything unusual. And in this routine course of events, the tri-agencies did, despite the fact that we are an excellent research university, and they underline that, and we have always had and we're known for excellent results and success rates in applying for federal and other sources of peer-reviewed funding, what they review us for is for the aspect of research administration and prudent and cutting-edge management of the research funds that we receive. So they did identify several concerns in regards to our institutional policies and procedures for the management of grant funds, and we immediately began to positively and proactively address these issues. And this network was seen as part of what is needed in order to really address the issues and to sustain excellent management at McGill. It goes beyond what we need to do to answer tri-council, tri-agency concerns, most of which have already been answered, in a way that brings us to the cutting edge of research administration. Certainly this is my vision, and it coincides with the monitoring visit pointing out some weaknesses, that really we realize we want to address the weaknesses. Of course, we must. However, we want to do more than that. You know, we're McGill. We want to be the cutting edge of research excellence. We want to be at the cutting edge of success at receiving research funding. And the third arm is we want to be at the cutting edge and be the best, be the ones who are in best practice and at the cutting edge of research administration and management. So this is part of that third arm. They, of course, I think, are also all interdependent. And we do believe that the better we are at managing our funds, it's the same as, it's similar to that better we are at applying for funds. We will be even more successful. So I want to underline that at no time I'll backtrack. We also wanted, and this is part of that, to involve all of our stakeholders, That's you. It's our researchers, our research administrators, our managers, and really our McGill community in this effort. We realize that the research office, research and international relations that I run, and the Office of Sponsored Research has, of course, a very big role to play in setting the tone, in setting the policies and the procedures and all of that. But the work really gets done all through McGill. And we cannot do this alone. Part of the network is engaging you, our community, in this goal. Today begins the kind of seminar series and information and discussion we are delivering to you, but we didn't call it a research administration seminar series or course or event. We called it a network because it really is about all of us. It's about us teaching you and talking with you, but you talking to us and teaching us. And really, I see this as an interactive endeavor in order to understand not only what needs to be done, but also what are the needs. We need to hear from you. We can't know that alone. So we really do see this as an ongoing, interactive process that will evolve over the years. So, as I mentioned, this RAN is a key component of McGill's response to the monitoring visit. I do want to highlight, because the question often comes up, that although the monitoring visit and this series, this network, is partially to address issues, it is really about being proactive and being at the cutting edge, but it's also at no time was there ever any accusation or finding of misconduct or anything that was intentional or even unintentional. Because I think often when people hear this, they think that something like that was found. So you don't think so, but I want to be on record to say that this is all about cutting-edge management and preventing such events which could occur, and really being accountable that we have all the policies and procedures in place to prevent and also monitor and be accountable for the way we manage the funds. So that's also in the modern age what an institution like McGill must do with all of our funding. It doesn't mean that anything was actually found, but we want to prevent anything like that for the future, and we have to prove to our funders that we're well equipped to manage and prevent such, and then deal with, if they occur, proactively and quickly, any such issues that could arise. So I wanted to mention as well that in addition to this initiative, there are many other initiatives that have been put in place to improve how we conduct our business. And for example, we're redesigning the research financial management services, and we're putting in new award management procedures in OSR. Many, I think, or all of these, this vehicle, this network, will serve as the venue to be able to launch these initiatives and involve you in them. And in fact, I hope you've noticed that we have increased our communication to the community about research administration and about these changes, and hopefully you can help us to distribute those kinds of communications. I think that's probably all I'm going to say today. I wanted to thank everyone. Thank you for being here. Also, thank the whole team in my office and in finance, especially LV Coletta, Brenda Lamb, Amy Laren, and Marlene Boutet. They really are the engines behind this machine and have really put this together, have done an excellent job. I congratulate them and I thank them for a lot of hard work. And I'm going to turn over the floor to Mary Margaret Klempa, who I also thank, Senior Director of the Office of Sponsored Research, and LV Coletta, Director of Research Financial Management Services, as they're going to give this morning's presentation. I can't stay this morning, unfortunately. They don't let VPs stay sessions like this. But I will be back. I think it's in March. Is it the third session? To give a little bit of a longer, substantial presentation on research performance at McGill. And I look forward to doing that. Have a great session, and again, welcome.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for coming out on this incredibly cold day. You're obviously very dedicated. You must be research administrators. I'm Mary Margaret Klempa. I'm the Senior Director of the Office of Sponsored Research. I'm going to be sharing this presentation with LV Coletta, who's the Manager of Research Financial Management Services. I'm really excited to be here. I'm glad to see such a great turnout. It's really great to come together in person. I recognize several faces in the audience, but there's a lot of people I don't know, so it'll be great to get to know everyone over the course of the next year. This will take the form of a formal presentation, as will several of the sessions, but we do want these sessions to be interactive, so This is a network, as Dr. Goldstein mentioned, and we hope to learn as much from you as you learn from us. So feel free to ask questions as they come up. We will have a general question and answer series at the end as well, so if you want to reserve your questions until then, that's fine. So this is the agenda. Can everyone hear me? So we really wanted this first session to be an introduction of the Research Administration Roles and Responsibilities, which was recently launched, as well as an overview of the central offices that deal with the administration of research funds, the Office of Sponsored Research and Research Financial Management Services. And as I said, we'll have a question and answer period at the end. So Dr. Goldstein gave a little bit of background about this. This is the background to how we got here. As she mentioned, we had the Tri-Council Financial Monitoring visit in 2010. We received the final report in 2011. So this is fairly routine. It happens about once every 3 to 5 years. And what the Tri-Council does is they send, in advance of their visit, they send a series of questions that the people working in research administration have to answer. So we answered those questions, and then they came, the financial monitoring team came to McGill, and they spent about a week here, and they interviewed various people who worked in research administration, followed up on some of the answers that we had provided. They looked at all of the policies and procedures that we use to manage research funds. They looked at some sample transactions to ensure that we were spending funds according to their eligibility criteria and to make sure that we had the supporting documentation to back up those expenditures to show that the researchers had actually authorized those expenditures and that were in line with the granting agency policies. It's not really an audit, although they do look at transactions. It's not an audit. The goal is really to review the processes, procedures, and policies in place at the university. We've had these visits in the past, but it was clear with this visit that the tri-agency was really increasing its expectations on universities in the management of research funds. And as Dr. Goldstein mentioned, it's important to note that there was no evidence of fraudulent spending or mismanagement of funds. What they found, rather, that there were gaps in our systems that would leave us open to fraudulent spending or mismanagement. So that's what we had to address. And several other universities across Canada have had very similar visits with very similar recommendations. So we're all in the same boat, and we've been benchmarking with other universities about how they're addressing these recommendations as well. So to summarize, we had 11 findings, 11 recommendations, 16 if you include the sub-recommendations. And we had what they really found was that we had difficulty in providing the supporting documentation, as I said, that would support the expenditures made on grant funds. It's not to say that we did not have the supporting documentation. We just couldn't come up with it quickly enough for them. So we really have to provide better tools to our research community to ensure that these documents are more easily accessible, and we have to implement better controls to monitor compliance. So just to focus on the first point for a minute, delineate the roles and responsibilities of everyone involved in research administration. The tri-agency found that McGill relies heavily on researchers to properly and responsibly spend their funds, but we don't provide adequate training to those researchers or give them the appropriate tools to do so. So the first and overarching recommendation from the monitoring report was that the institution must ensure that the roles and responsibilities of everyone involved in the management of research grant funds are well defined and understood. So both the research administration roles and responsibilities and the launch of this network, the Research Administration Network, are a direct result of this first recommendation. So following the receipt of the initial report from the Tri-Agency Financial Monitoring Review, a series of actions were undertaken. First and foremost, we created a group called the Tri-Agency Response Implementation Group. This is a working group that was formed to address the recommendations and put in place the solutions that would resolve these recommendations by the Tri-Agency. This group is made up of representatives from the Office of Sponsored Research, Research Financial Management Services, Financial Services, and the Faculty of Medicine. We've been giving regular communications from this group over the past year. I hope that some of these have reached you. If not, we'll have to do a better job of communicating. And as I mentioned, the roles and responsibilities is a direct result of that visit. And Elvie and I will provide an overview of that document in the coming slides. But if you haven't already done so, I really do encourage you to look at it. It's posted on both the Office of Sponsored Research website and the Research Financial Management Services website, or Financial Services website. So this is the Research Administration Network, and these are the goals. We want to provide the tools and resources to foster the professional development of McGill staff by improved understanding of the policies and process involved in day-to-day research administration activities. Our goal is to illustrate and advocate best practices aimed to minimize or prevent McGill and its research community from future compliance and auditing or monitoring issues. But we really want to develop a community of practice, harnessing the knowledge and expertise that exists across McGill, across all the people that are here, with respect to research administration. And as Dr. Goldstein said, we want to distinguish McGill as a leader not only in research excellence, but also in the adherence to the highest standards of research administration compliance. So as I've said several times, we launched this as a result of the tri-agency monitoring visit. We specifically chose to focus our training efforts on people who work in support of research, as opposed to the researchers themselves. The tri-agency had initially said that we should be focusing our training on researchers. And we've done that in the past, but we find that researchers are not terribly interested in the nitty-gritty details of research administration. So we chose to focus our efforts on you. Well, researchers are obviously responsible for managing their funds properly and being aware of the sponsor regulations and requirements. Really, their focus should be on the conduct of research, on teaching, on training graduate students, publishing their results, and communicating their results to the community. They can't be expected to know the nitty-gritty details of every single aspect of research administration, from application requirements to ethical requirements, all the regulations concerned with the financial management of research funds. This is really our responsibility, to know these, to gain a comprehensive knowledge of these requirements and to communicate these to our researchers, to provide them with the tools and resources that they need to conduct their research responsibly with the least possible burden. So that's why we've chosen to focus on you. The way we set up our proposals and projects has a serious impact on the way the project is managed. And if the project is well managed, that obviously has a positive effect on our relationship with our research sponsors. So it's our job to understand the full process, the cradle-to-grave process, from the identification of opportunities right through to the final reporting and project closeout. We all share accountability, and it's our responsibility to be good stewards of research funds. These are tax dollars that are entrusted to universities, and we are responsible for using them properly. So we hope that this network will provide a community of practice where we can harness our shared expertise, where we can learn from one another and develop best practices that will facilitate the cradle-to-grave process. So I'd like to take this opportunity again to thank Amy, Marlene, Elvie, and Brenda for launching this network. They've worked tirelessly over the past few months to get this up and running. This session is being filmed, and future sessions will be filmed. And it will be available on the RAN website, along with tools and resources that are associated to that particular session. The RAN website will also be used to build an FAQ section and some best practices and case scenarios. The site is currently under production, so bear with us as we build that alongside the Research Administration Network. And we will let you know via the listserv as soon as it goes live. We will use the listserv to make announcements about changes to programs, policies, etc., changes in organization. So please be sure to keep an eye on that listserv. And I just wanted to note that although this network and the roles and responsibilities document were created as a result of the tri-agency monitoring visit, we are not focusing only on tri-agency funds. This is really meant to cover everything: tri-council, provincial contracts, everything. The idea is really to provide a good understanding of research administration in its entirety at universities. And now over to Elvie.
So I would also like to welcome you to this first Research Administration Network. I'm really, really excited about it. I've personally been in the research portfolio for over 20 years now, and we've never had a network of this size. We do meet with several groups across campus, but we've never been able to reach all members at departmental level. So I'm hoping that this network will be that network, the Mecca network of research administration, because I think together we can really do what it takes to support our researchers. So what is research administration? Research administration is made up of several different facets, which I'm bringing up here on the screen. So it really starts right at the beginning when the researcher has that wonderful idea to go and perform research on a specific subject. And then it starts from the application stage all the way to the closing out stage, and it involves all of these facets from research facilitation, research financial accounting, so on and so forth. So some of you may be involved in one of these facets, some of you may be involved in all of these facets. So the future sessions, we will delve into the details of these different facets of research administration so that you're equipped with the tools and information that will help you guide and support the researchers. So what is the reality of research administration at McGill and actually across all universities? We know that the reality is that the researcher is often stuck in between the university policies and the obligations to the sponsors, and our role is to ensure that we mitigate risks for both the university and the sponsors. So the researcher really wants to focus on his research activities, and his or her role is not to be financial administrators or research administrators per se. That's why we're here today, to get all the tools that they require, to get all the tools that we need in order to support the researchers. So our expectation is that research administrators should not feel that research administration is a burden. If we give you all of the tools, all of the processes, all of the information required, then it should be day-to-day activity should not be such a burden on us if we understand what the requirements are. And that's what we're here to put forth to the community. Excuse me. So why is research administration important across universities? Well, research funding is a critical part of universities, and the amounts received are used in ranking universities and to calculate federal and provincial contributions to the universities. It also supports the recruitment and training of top students, as well as academic appointment process. So when sponsors decide to allocate funding to universities, they're taking a risk on behalf of taxpayers and donors. Therefore, when awarding funds to recipients, they need to ensure that the necessary controls are in place at the universities to mitigate any risks against noncompliance and audit findings. Although in the past, when we've had monitoring visits, certain items were excused, they're not so easily excused anymore due to the economic climate. So funding agencies are very careful in awarding funding these days due to the fact that if there is no controls in place and there's high risk areas where things are mismanaged or there's breaches, then they're very careful in giving out monies to universities that do not have controls in place. So that's why it's very important that we have those controls in place at McGill University, and the Tri-Council was actually a very good exercise for us because they did outline areas of improvements which we've addressed. I also want to point out that although the PI is ultimately responsible for the conduct of research at McGill University and across all universities, it is the university that's usually held accountable for any mismanagement and breaches of those awards. So the PI is responsible for the conduct of his research, but we're responsible to ensure that the controls are in place to manage those funds appropriately and according to the guidelines of those agencies. So just to clarify, and as Mary Margaret pointed out, when we had the Tri-Council monitoring visit, there was no unethical misconduct at McGill University. Everything was fine. There were very little things that were ineligible, but nothing material. It was more related to supporting documentation. So when we went to provide them with source documents, it was very difficult for us to get those documents from the departments and the initiators of those documents. It was also very difficult for us to provide assurance that the PI had authorized those expenditures as well as maybe their delegates. We could not substantiate that. Also, one of the problems that we have also is that sometimes the you know that we transfer expenses from one fund to another. That's an exercise that's ongoing and that hopefully through these forms we can address. And that all comes down to planning from the get-go on research grants. When we do that, it impedes our accurate financial accuracy on financial reporting back to the sponsors, and therefore it affects our relationship with those sponsors, and it opens us up to unnecessary scrutiny. So in research administration, we're constantly striving to reach a level of expertise, and we're always benchmarking with our partner institutions and other universities in Canada for best practices, and the RAND session is part of that benchmarking and is also the result of the Tri-Council monitoring visit. So we're always trying to see what our universities are doing, what can we do better, what can we steal from them here and there, and it helps us become top at McGill University as well. So I'm going to pass the mic back to Mary Margaret for a review of the roles and responsibility document. Did you want me to stay here with you?
You can just sit down. Okay. Thank you, Elvie. So the roles and responsibilities document was developed by the TRIG, the Tri-Agency Implementation Working Group. We worked on this for several months. We consulted with key stakeholders across the university. We formed an advisory group that was comprised of, and it still exists, we consult with them on a bi-monthly basis, comprised of both researchers and people who are working in research administration in the departments and faculties, as well as representation from the McGill Association of University Teachers. It was ran by that committee and the Research Advisory Committee, which meets on a monthly basis, which is composed of associate deans of research in all the faculties. Final approval was provided by our Executive Steering Committee and by the Tri-Agency as well. They looked at the document and they approved its content. So it was finally circulated, and as I said, it was posted on both the OSR and the Financial Services website in November of 2012. So I'll provide a brief overview of this document now. It's important to point out that the document focuses specifically on the administration of research funding. So we don't get into how research is conducted or the day-to-day activities of research. It's really the administration, financial and otherwise, of research funding. We've divided the roles and responsibilities under three headers: academic, which is the principal investigators, the researchers themselves; faculty, department, and administrative and support staff. So this is the chairs, the deans, the associate deans of research, directors of schools and institutes. This is the faculty financial officers. This is the financial services teams, and anyone who works really in support of research at a local level. And then finally, central administration, which is the Office of Sponsored Research and Research Financial Management Services. So that was, it wasn't December 12, but it was actually November, but that's not. So the academic section, the overarching responsibility of the principal investigator is to ensure that all research is conducted according to governing principles, policies, regulations of the institution and the sponsor over the life of the project. So some of their other responsibilities include they must conduct research with the highest level of integrity and in compliance with all policies and regulations and the terms and conditions of each award. They must ensure that all applications for funding and contracts are reviewed and approved by the Office of Sponsored Research. They must exercise financial accountability and responsibility in accordance with both McGill and sponsor requirements, and McGill's fund financial manager policy, which includes approval of all expenses and management of possible over expenditures. And PIs are responsible for ineligible expenses or forfeiture of payments due to non-compliance with the terms and conditions of the award. So the responsibilities of the dean, the associate dean, departmental chair, director of school of institute, and these are really overlapping because in some cases we have non-departmentalized faculties, so where there's no chair, it's the dean, or in some cases the dean will delegate those responsibilities to the associate dean of research. The responsibility of this role is to communicate and advocate the university's highest level of integrity and compliance with all relevant administrative policies and regulations for all sponsored research projects. More specifically, these people have to sign on the Office of Sponsored Research checklist. And that signature confirms their approval of the project. It confirms that the researcher has the appropriate space and resources to fulfill that project. It confirms the budget that has been proposed, which could include teaching release, administrative release. It could include salary support. It could include matching or in-kind contributions from either the department or the faculty. So that's a very important tool that is on the Office of Sponsored Research website, and it will be covered later on in one of our sessions later on this year. Departments and faculties also share responsibility for over-expenditure of funds where the researcher does not have other sources to cover those over-expenditures. In addition to those roles, there's also the faculty financial officer or the director of administration. The responsibility of that role is really to coordinate the dissemination and the local implementation of research administration policies and procedures and guidelines to the faculty members and to departmental faculty staff and departmental staff. The financial service team and administrative officers, it's important to note that this is not all of these responsibilities may be just yours. These are shared across the department, across the faculty. So in some cases it's the FSTs, the financial service teams. In some cases it may be an administrative officer working at the departmental level. So the responsibilities are really to act as a primary point of contact for researchers requiring administrative assistance during the life cycle of the research funding. You really are that local resource that researchers can go to. The Office of Sponsored Research and Research Financial Management Services may seem very remote to them, and they may not know who to contact, so it's really important for them to have someone local in their department or faculty, a face that they know, someone that they can go to easily to get the information or the tools or resources that they require. These people are also responsible to advocate and apply applicable policies and procedures as they apply to research funds to ensure compliance. So for those of you who are providing direct support to researchers, we also ask your assistance in communicating institutional and sponsor requirements, validating expenses against sponsor terms and conditions to ensure that these expenses are eligible. It's very important to review the balances in the account and monitor the spending rate to monitor both over expenditures and excess funds that are left over by the time the fund expires. We don't want to be in a position where we're returning funds to a sponsor. That's not a good idea. We count on these people to promote sound record retention to facilitate access to supporting documentation. This is really a weakness at McGill. We need the people in the faculties and departments to really provide immediate access to those supporting documentation when sponsors ask for it. We also ask for assistance in reminding principal investigators of reporting deadlines, including internal deadlines on expired ethical or animal compliance certificates. So the next few slides will provide an overview of the roles and responsibilities of the Office of Sponsored Research. The Office of Sponsored Research reports to the VP Research and International Relations, and we're all located on the second floor of the James Administration Building. This is our mission. We provide comprehensive information services and support to members of the McGill research community in their pursuit and management of funding. We also ensure accountability, compliance, and stewardship for the funds received from McGill Research. So this is just a brief glance at our activity over a given year, April 1st, 2011 to March 31st, 2012. So in that time period, we received and processed 3,713 proposals. Of those, 1,243 resulted in grants that were awarded to the university, representing about $238 million. We also signed 189 research contracts for a total value of $19 million. It's important to note that this is just Central McGill. This does not include the affiliated hospitals. They bring another, I would think, about $100 million to McGill on an annual basis. So the Office of Sponsored Research has 54 staff members reporting, and these staff members are organized into six different teams. So the Grants and Foundations team is really usually the first point of contact for researchers, especially new researchers who are looking to submit their first grant application to a funding sponsor. So in the Grants and Foundations team, they assist with the development and preparation of grant applications. They review and approve these applications on behalf of McGill. We communicate funding opportunities via a listserv. This is open to researchers, but it's also open to administrators in the university. So if you're not signed up to that listserv, then I encourage you to do so, and you can help your researchers identify funding opportunities that will be appropriate for their research. We organize workshops and grantsmanship sessions, new faculty orientation for researchers, and administrators are also welcome to come to those to advertise the funding opportunities, to provide advice on best practices in applying to research funding opportunities. These are advertised on the website and through the listserv, the funding opportunity listserv. The Institutional Strategic Initiatives team deals with the institutional grants that require usually a team effort, often large infrastructure grants such as the Canada Foundation for Innovation, the provincial infrastructure grants, which is the MDOEPS. We're full of acronyms, and that's one thing that we need to do on our research administration network, actually, is provide a list of acronyms, an alphabet soup, because it gets a bit out of control, and then the provincial government tends to change the names of their departments and funding agencies every 2 years or so, so you have to learn a whole new set of acronyms. They also deal with the Canada Research Chairs, the Canada Excellence Research Chairs, Genome Canada, and Genome Quebec grants. The Contracts and Agreements team drafts and negotiates contracts with both industry and government. They participate in building project proposals for competitive bids. and industry engagement. They educate principal investigators and their research teams on contractual clauses, including intellectual property and confidentiality. They do material transfer agreements, confidentiality agreements, etc. The commercialization team seeks and receives reports of invention. They do a due diligence review on the report of invention disclosures. They do intellectual property protection through patenting, and then they license these new inventions to companies, and they also support the creation of new spin-off companies from McGill. The awards management team is the team that interacts with all these teams before at the end. When the notice of award is received at McGill, it goes to this team. They review the notices of award and the agreements. They communicate the terms and conditions of those awards and agreements to PIs, to research financial management services, and to the financial services teams. They approve the new new fund creation, where this team is really the interface with research financial management service. They work very closely together in opening the funds, and they assist with the award management, sponsor notifications, sub-awards. So if a researcher has co-applicants at another university and they want to transfer funds to that university, this is the team that can facilitate that. They also receive sub-awards from other universities where we are a co-applicant. And as I said, this is really the critical link between the Office of Sponsored Research and Research Financial Management Services. The operations team provides support, administrative support, to the Office of Sponsored Research. They maintain our InfoEd database, which is a database where all of the research information is entered from the very beginning, submission of the award, right through to awarded, and we use that tool also to communicate with Research Financial Management Services. They're also responsible for reporting to the provincial government on our funding and for doing the indirect cost distribution for the federal government and reporting statistics at the upper administration level and to departments and faculties as well. This is our website. It's www.mcgill.ca/research. If you click on the researchers tab, you'll come to the OSR website and you'll find several important tools here. Funding sources will provide a list of funding sources by federal, provincial, international, U.S. CFI is there as well. The applications and proposals tab, it includes budget information, indirect cost information. It gives an overview of how to submit an application, what are the requirements at OSR in order to get a signature and get the application submitted. It has a section on working with industry and the management of intellectual property. Ethics and compliance, links to those teams that help get the certificates, help with the applications to the research ethics boards and the animal compliance certificates. There's a section on workshops and events, and that's where you'll find our outreach activities, grantsmanship sessions, new faculty orientation. Policies, regulations, and guidelines, that's where our research administration roles and responsibilities is housed. So if you click there, you can access that document. Forms and resources, that's where you'll find the Office of Sponsored Research checklist, the templates for requesting a subaward to another institution, as well as template agreements. And over to Elvie again.
So Research Financial Management Services is made up of 41 staff members reporting to the controller as we're part of financial services and ultimately reporting to the VP Finance and Administration. Our mission is to provide support to the researchers in order to facilitate the management of their research grants and contracts, as well as provides financial management and control on behalf of external funding stakeholders. Which is all of our foundations, corporations, and government agencies. Although we would love to provide the maximum support to our researchers for the management of their grants, we obviously depend on you to do that. As you're closer to the action, you're closer to the researchers, and they know you more than they know us. We don't turn anyone away, but hopefully through this forum we can really work together to provide them the 100% service that they need. So we're really responsible for validating the eligibility and accountability of expenditures that come through our approval queues on a regular basis. We also are responsible for the preparation and submission of all financial reporting and billings to our sponsors in order to ensure receipt of the millions of dollars that are awarded to McGill University. So although we extend the spending power right from the get-go to the researchers so that they can start their research activities, we are responsible for making sure the collection of those monies. We don't get those monies up front. It's more or less a line of credit that we're extending to the research community. We coordinate all audits and responses, and we then form groups, as we did with the Tri-Council, to respond to any recommendations. We also develop and execute monitoring and compliance programs, and we are the key liaison with the sponsors on behalf of McGill University. So we recently went through a restructure in our FMS. We used to be called Research and Restricted Funds. We're now Research Financial Management Services. And the restructure was due, we responded to the feedback that we did receive from the research community through various forums, whereby we weren't providing the adequate support, especially in fund opening, where there were major delays. As such, we divvied up our teams, we segregated duties because it was impossible for one fund administrator to do for everything from A to Z, opening the fund to fund termination. So we split up our teams in such a way where we have dedicated resources to respond to specific needs. So the first team is the fund management team. And there, they work very closely together with OSR via the InfoEd system, which we'll be showing you in the next sessions. And we receive the notices from OSR, and once we receive those notices, we go and review the terms and conditions that are provided to us by OSR, and we set up the new fund and provide the spending power to so that the research can start at McGill. They are also responsible for processing the interinstitutional advances. We've centralized that exercise, so we've seen many benefits from that. They process all the check deposits and wire transfers, and they help with the closing of the thousands of funds that we close on an annual basis. And they ensure the FOPL integrity. Another reason why we centralized that mission of fund opening is because we had 35 hands in the pot, and so our data was not always accurate. So by centralizing this effort, the data in fund integrity data is going to be more accurate. The next two teams are the reporting and compliance teams. There's two pillars to that with two distinct supervisors, and this team is responsible for monitoring the expenditures and eligibility on the actual funds when the fund is opened. The fund is opened, it's passed on to this team. This team is responsible for preparing the financial statements on time, prepares all the billings, assesses the control reports such as over expenditures, receivables, and other error reports, and acts as the primary contact and experts for the agencies, as well as supports with audits and terminates funds. The monitoring and compliance team is new to our area. We got that team as a result of the restructuring. This team oversees the over-expenditure monitoring, as well as is going to develop, or we already have programs in place, but we're developing other programs to ensure compliance with the funding agency's regulations. So this is the team that's going to be testing certain transaction streams, such as expense reports, P-cards, journals, payroll transactions, so that we go back to departments, ask for backup, and we're monitoring to see are we in line with what's expected of us by the agencies, and if we're not, that's where we're going to know ahead of time to put the processes in places that are required so that we're ready for any audit, any future audits. And we have a new leg of the team as well, which is training. So we have an internal trainer now to our FMS that's constantly providing updates to processes in our area. And we have an external trainer that is part of the RAN, and that's Brenda Lamb. Some stats. So on an annual basis, we administer 9,266 research funds, so you can imagine how busy we are on a daily basis. This is not limited to just research funds. We also administer fellowships and scholarship awards. And we administer, and that's a cumulative balance, $654 million is current plus balance forwards from previous year. So it's a substantial amount of money that we're stewardships for, and we really have to act accordingly. We deal with 670 unique sponsors and 1,940 unique researchers. So you can understand why we have this forum, so that we together again, and I know I keep repeating it, but I think it's really, really necessary. It's come to the point where Central is not able to support the researchers as we once did because of this volume. So with all of us together, I think we can do a really, really good job. These are some of the transactions we approve on a daily basis. So all the journals, IDCs, requisitions, payroll, payment requests, travel advances, so on and so forth. For expense reports, we only approve expense reports that are forthcoming by the Faculty of Medicine, as they still do not have an FST program, although it's forthcoming in the near future. All other expense reports are approved by faculties and the FSDs within those faculties, and that's a great help to Central. On an annual basis, we open 2,300 new funds and thousands of renewals. The renewals are automatic renewals. We also prepare 3,035 tri-agency financial statements, 100 CFI statements. We also have other statements that we prepare. Those are not the only ones, but those are the federal ones that are upcoming and due soon. And on an annual basis, we process 700 interinstitutional advances. So that's very, very significant. So with the Central OSR RFMS, so we're the gatekeeper. We're the agency-specific expertise, university authority on interpreting the guidelines and gray areas. And we're the main pre- and post-award contacts for PIs and administrators. The local support staff, you're the on-site and primary support to the PIs. The PIs know you better than they know us because they have the face-to-face contact every day. So you're the key liaison for the PIs and with us, Central Office. The management of research funds to ensure compliance, that's part of your mission as well as transaction validation and the repository for supporting documents. That's a big one, and that's something we need improvement on, and we're going to guide you through the necessary processes in order to get that done. But I think together we can really have a significant impact. Sorry, I'm having a problem with this keyboard. A significant impact on how research is conducted at McGill University, and how well we do as research administrators is dependent on us working together. And that's why this administration forum is key to the success. So that's it for me and for Mary Margaret, I believe. That kind of ends our session. But before I pass on the baton to Brenda and Amy, I would like to really thank you on behalf of the RAN Committee and Mary Margaret for coming out today on this such a cold day. And I look forward to the future sessions that we're going to be giving throughout the year. So Brenda and Amy.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, too loud. Thank you again for coming out to the first RAN meeting, especially on such a cold Friday. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Brenda Lam, as Elvie had introduced before. I'm from the Research Financial Management Services, and this is Amy Laren from Office of Sponsored Research. Everyone who has signed up to the RAN listserv has received the RAN 2013 calendar, which outlines the topics, dates, and locations for the upcoming months. Rooms have been booked until August 2013. For the fall sessions, we're just waiting for the course calendar of 2013-14 to be confirmed before we secure the rooms, but we will keep you informed, so keep your eyes open on the RAN listserv. For those of you who haven't signed up for the RAN listserv, you can still subscribe by emailing us at researchadministrator.osr@mcgill.ca. So now Amy and I will just go over the topics for the upcoming months. In February, we'll be talking about the life cycle of grant awards. Here we will walk you through the funded project from pre-award phase to project completion and talk about the various units that are involved during the management and administration of the fund.
And in March, we're going to talk about the Canada Foundation for Innovation. I'm sure a lot of you in the room touch on those grants at some point in your day-to-day activities. For those of you who work with them, you know that they're quite a bit different than your standard grant awards. They're infrastructure grants, so they're managed completely different. So we've dedicated a whole session to discussing the life cycle of those grants. And colleagues from the Institutional Strategic Initiatives area of OSR will present and give you an overview of the life cycle and who's involved from start to finish of a CFI grant.
In April, we will introduce to you some new tools which will help support researchers and research administration.
And in May, we're going to talk about optimal budget strategies. And this will be something that will involve pretty much everybody in the room, I would assume, because regardless of whether you're involved in the pre-award or the post-award, how a budget is created at the application stage impacts the entire life of the project and how it can be implemented, how it can be put into place. So this session will go, we'll look more carefully into how do you make a budget so that the research project, if it's awarded, runs as smoothly as possible. And so it'll be a great session for pretty much, I assume, everyone in the room. And that's one where we really would like your feedback on what are some headaches that you see when budgets are created, and so we can discuss them, we can include them in the discussion of that workshop.
Okay. In June, we're going to review some policies and procedures and best practices for payroll and procurement.
And in July and August, we're going to talk about understanding your bread and butter agencies. These are the tri-agencies, these are the provincial agencies, these are the ones that probably most of us in the room see on a daily basis. And so what it's going to be is it's not just going to look at the programs, the funding opportunities that are offered by those agencies, because most of us have an idea of that. This is going to look more carefully at what kind of rules do they have, how are they structured, so that we are better able to set up proposals to those agencies that respond to their makeup, as well as we're able to manage the projects in a way that suits their own priorities.
In September, we're going to give you updates on travel regulations and go over some accounts payable methods.
And then we're going to jump to the life cycle of contracts and agreements. This will be much like the life cycle of grant awards and CFI that we're talking about earlier in the year. We'll give you a kind of cradle-to-grave approach to contracts and how they are managed at McGill.
In November, we're going to have a session on life cycle of an audit. Here, the session, we'll go over the audit process from sample selection to addressing the findings and recommendations from the auditors.
And in December, given that it'll be the end of the first year of the RAN, we decided to have a bit more of a lighter tone session. And we're going to do Research Administration Jeopardy, where the focus is going to be on all the topics that we would have discussed over the course of the year. And I don't want to make any promises, but I have heard talk about candy for people who answer correctly. So stay tuned, and we'll get you more information on that one as well. So that's the calendar. And keep in mind that although we have decided the topics for these sessions, if you have any comments, questions, or scenarios that you would like to have addressed at these sessions or future sessions, we welcome your feedback. Your question or comments can ultimately help the entire group here, the RAND network. So we welcome your feedback. Again, please send us your suggestions at researchadministrator.osr@mcgill.ca.
And when you came in today, you would have noticed that there were some evaluation forms at all of the places, all the spots. If there wasn't one at your spot, just let us know and we can get you one. But we do encourage you to fill out the evaluation form. And we have a box where we'll put them all in. But if you can just leave them at your spot or you can hand them to one of the organizing committee as you leave today, we really appreciate it, because we want these sessions to be as useful as possible for everybody here. And the only way we're going to know that is that if you give us your feedback. So we really, really appreciate you taking the time to fill out the evaluations. And we want to thank you all for coming. And we'll open up the floor to any questions. If you have any questions, please put up your hand. And there are microphones on the aisles. But otherwise, we can just repeat. And yes. Oh, sorry, just a second.
My name's Andrew. I'm from Department of Epidemiology and Faculty of Medicine. And one thing I noticed that's not on the list, which I think is very important, is the relationship between McGill, the RIMUCH, the SHUM, the LDI, all of these things. Because on the ground administrators, we don't just need to know your rules, we need to know their rules. And all of our investigators have grants in several places. So although it's, you know, a bit of a verboten topic, in reality, as on-the-ground administrators and as researchers, we do have to have some way to address these issues of both what they expect and then also transfer of funds between these institutions.
And I think I speak on behalf of the whole organizing committee when I say we all recognize, we are fully aware of the issues and that this needs to be a very in-depth topic, if not devoted to several sessions. I think because we're still up and we're getting up and running and we have several general topics to cover in the first year, we are already setting our schedule for the following year, and that's something that we will definitely add as a topic of importance to discuss. Once we have a better idea of how everything is managed at McGill, then we can move, I think, on to the nitty-gritty of how our relationships operate with other institutions. But it's a well-taken suggestion.
Yeah. I'm really happy that this is happening, and I'm
thrilled. Well, and as we said, we are recording all these sessions, so they will be posted online so that, you know, for many of you, and I've relatively new to McGill, I felt kind of lost in your first when you're trying to get an understanding of everything, where to go for things. We will have these sessions up online so that for the new people that are coming in future years, they will be able to sit down and look at these resources, look at these sessions, and get a better understanding of McGill and how we operate, which I think everyone in the room can appreciate. That's a big step. Are there any questions? Is there a hand up at the back?
There is, right
here. Okay, yes.
Okay, so you mentioned a lot about the backups from the departments. Now, what exactly are you referring to? Because we're in the Faculty of Medicine, we do a lot with the RI. Now, you've heard the e-card transactions, travel expenses, because, I mean, we keep our backups. We have paper copies. Should we be doing electronic copies? Because eventually we have to clean out our
So just to repeat the question, there's a question about what type of, when we were talking about supporting documentation and record keeping, what exactly we were referring to, and Elvie's going to talk about that.
So thank you for that question. So during any audit that we have, not just tri-agency, we have a lot of difficulty, especially with P-card backup documentation. So oftentimes, either the researcher's hanging on to that receipt, or it's in a shoebox somewhere or wherever. So we're wasting a ton of time trying to call the RI, call the department, call the PI. So we're calling many, many people in order to get this piece of paper. So I would say that it's up to us as administrators to try our best when we're looking at those P-card transactions to go to the researcher and say, give me that receipt, because a lot of them don't want to let go that receipt. So you just say, give it to me. I'm going to safeguard it for you in case of an audit. Otherwise, you'll be non-compliant. So it's important that we get that receipt. Another example we had was journal backups as well. So a lot of these transfers from one fund to another, sometimes we didn't have the PI's approval or we didn't have the necessary explanation of what that transfer was. So sometimes it's not just even the paper backup, it's just even an explanation, because what's put in FOA text when you're processing a journal sometimes is not adequate. When it came to payroll transactions, we had a lot of issues with trying to ask for backup to POP payments, for example, whereby an administrator is processing the POP payment, but there is no timesheet associated with that. It's just a requisition that was processed online, but there's no timesheet with the signature of the PI and or his delegate saying pay such and such a person so many hours for this activity. So we didn't have that. That's non-compliant, because the auditors are going to say, so who authorized that payment? And that also goes for Minerva appointment forms. So all of these types of transactions. And the biggie was that we could not substantiate the PI authorizing transactions. So especially if they're electronic transactions, we didn't have in place a robust system that would track the delegation of such. So if the PI can't choose to delegate, but we need to track that delegation. So that's a tool that we're currently developing. And as you saw on the schedule, it's a tool that we're going to introduce to the community. Does that answer your question? Yeah, travel, yes, we have all the expense reports at our end, so we keep them centrally. That's one of the easiest ones that we readily have available upon audit requests. Yes? Well, the federal government dictates 7 years, I believe, 7 years. Usually it's 7 years, so if something like that happens, you should bring it to our attention. It's 7 years. For CFI, it's for the length of the project. So I believe, and Marilena, you're in the room, I'm going to look at you. So if is it 10 years after the project end date? After the project terminates. Yeah, so for CFI, we need to keep our documents for 12 years, and that's the exception.
Some contracts might be 10, 12, 15 years to be stipulated in the terms of the contract. So it's all over the place, fortunately. It really is sponsor-specific.
But for the tri-consul, it's, as a general rule, it's
7 years. Yes. Yes, for most agencies, it's 7 years. CFI is very specific. And then we have the odd ones that more and more are putting these restraints on universities to keep this backup documentation. And, of course, it becomes an issue for space as well. So it's something we really need to work together to make better, if you will.
Scanned copies are fine.
Yes.
Yes.
Scanned copies are fine. Anything else? Oh, who has the signing sheets?
With the sign-in sheet.
Oh, the sign-in sheet? Oh, Andrew has it.
And the signing is, we're not necessarily tracking who's coming and not coming to the session committee. It will help us to make case with the room facilities that we need to conduct these sessions and give us an idea as to, help us better develop
Oh, a copy of the presentation will be posted online, and we'll send the link to the listserv when it's all up and ready. It will also have the recording of the session as well. Any other questions? Well, we want to thank all of you for coming. It was great to see everybody, and have a great day.